want you to do something for me. Just look down at the bottom right side of your abdomen, like just below the belt line.
Right down there in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Right there, tucked away at the little junction where your small intestine meets the large intestine, sits the
The
appendix.
famous little worm-shaped pouch.
The punchline of human anatomy, basically. I mean, if you asked Charles Darwin, he'd tell you it's a mistake, like an evolutionary receipt that nature just forgot to throw away.
That is definitely the popular reputation, yeah. A completely vestigial organ that does nothing.
Well, nothing except explode at the worst possible moment.
Right, it's basically seen as a ticking time bomb just waiting to ruin your vacation.
Exactly. It is the villain of the gut. Here is where it gets really interesting for our deep dive today. What if we've got it all wrong?
No.
What if this little throwaway organ actually holds the key to treating a really severe chronic disease?
It's a fascinating premise, because today we're looking at a study that pits that little piece of tissue against some of the most powerful high-tech drugs in modern medicine.
And the results are honestly not what you might expect at all.
Not at all. We are diving into the COSTA study, and the title is, it's a bit of a mouthful. It's Appendicectomy versus Switching to a JAK-AG Inhibitor in Inducing Remission in Patients with Active Ulcerative Colitis.
Okay, let's unpack that right away.
Hit
Because
me.
on one side of the ring, you have a surgical procedure, right? Taking a scalpel and physically removing the
Yep,
appendix.
old school surgery.
And on the other side, you have JAK inhibitors. These are highly advanced, extremely potent pharmaceuticals. It feels like a total mismatch, like putting a vintage typewriter up against a supercomputer.
It really does seem counterintuitive when you phrase it like that.
Yeah.
But to understand why this fight is even happening, we have to look at the stakes for the people involved. We're talking about patients with ulcerative colitis, or UC.
Right.
And we think it's important we clarify what that actually means for a patient. Because it's not just a tummy ache.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, this is a serious autoimmune disease. Your body is essentially attacking the lining of your own colon.
Correct. And the specific patients in the COSTA study, they are in a really tough spot. They have what we call refractory disease.
Which is basically the polite medical way of saying, well, the drugs stop working.
Precisely. They have a total Mayo score between 5 and 12.
And for anyone who doesn't know, that's not a condiment rating.
No. It's a disease activity index. And a score of 12 represents severe, debilitating illness. We're
Wow.
talking frequent, bloody diarrhea,
Just awful.
urgency that keeps you completely housebound, the fatigue, the severe pain. And crucially, when doctors look inside these patients with an endoscope, the tissue itself is just raw and inflamed.
And we should point out, these aren't people who just got diagnosed and just started treatment. They've already tried the heavy hitters, right?
Yes, exactly. They have failed what we call advanced therapy. So we're talking about biologics like infliximab or Vigil and
The
Abbott,
big guns.
the very big guns. These are complex, targeted therapies that are designed to intercept inflammatory signals in the body. But for these specific patients, those drugs have failed. The inflammation is just winning.
So usually when you reach this point, the roadmap is pretty grim for you. You're
Yeah.
either swapped to a different, maybe stronger drug and just cross your fingers, or you have to start looking at the nuclear option,
The colectomy, removing the colon entirely.
which is huge.
It is a massive life-altering surgery. You lose the organ, you often end up with a stoma, or you need complex reconstructive surgery. I mean, it's effective at stopping the disease, but it comes at a very high cost to your quality of life.
So the mission of this deep dive, what we're really trying to figure out today, is whether there's a middle ground. Can a simple one-time laparoscopic surgery, just popping out that little appendix, actually beat a modern class of drugs in getting these patients into remission?
It sounds almost too simple to work.
It sounds like folk medicine, like, oh, just take out the appendix, you'll be fine.
I know. And yet, that is exactly what the researchers across five hospitals in the Netherlands set out to discover. It is a literal showdown between mechanical surgery and modern pharmacology.
Okay, so let's get into the setup of this showdown. Who exactly are these people in the study, and how did the researchers decide who gets the knife and who gets the pill?
Well, this is where the study design gets really unique. Usually, in a clinical trial, a computer randomly assigns you to group A or group B. You essentially flip a coin.
Right, a randomized controlled trial.
Exactly. But that is not what happened here. This was a patient preference study.
Wait, really? They just let them choose?
They actually let the patients choose their path. They laid out the options. They said, here is the surgery, and here are the new drugs. Which one do you want?
That is incredibly rare in clinical research. Usually scientists want total control over the variables. Why let the patients pick?
Because it reflects the real-world dilemma. Think about it. If you tell a patient, hey, we're going to flip a coin to decide if you have to undergo abdominal surgery today, most people will just say, no thanks, I'm going home.
Yeah, I definitely would.
Right. So by letting them choose, you get a cohort of people who are actually committed to that specific course of action. It really mirrors the actual conversation you'd have in a gastroenterologist's office.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. So let's look at the two paths they could choose from. Path one was the JAK inhibitor group.
Right. In this group, the patient stopped taking their failing biologic drug, and they switched to a JAK inhibitor, specifically a drug called tofacitinib.
Okay, can we pause on JAK inhibitors for a second? Because I see commercials for these things all the time now. How are they different from the biologics these people were already taking and failing on?
That's a great question. So biologics are usually antibodies. They're huge proteins that float around outside the cells, and they try to catch inflammatory signals, kind of like a goalkeeper catching a soccer ball before it goes in the net.
Okay, big proteins outside the cell.
Right. But JAK inhibitors are different. They are what we call small molecules. They are tiny enough that they can actually slip inside the cell.
Oh, like a Trojan horse.
Sort of, yeah. Once they get inside, they block the communication pathway, specifically the Janus kinase pathways, which is where the name JK comes from.
Oh, okay.
And those pathways are what tell the cell's nucleus to produce inflammation. So if the biologics are out there intercepting the mail, the JK inhibitors are sneaking in and cutting the phone lines inside the headquarters.
Got it. I love that analogy. So they are potent, they act fast, and they're generally considered the next level up when biologics fail. So that's path one. Now, path two is where my brain starts to hurt a little bit, the appendectomy group.
Yes. Path two is the surgical option. You undergo a straightforward laparoscopic surgery to remove the appendix. But, and this is the critical twist in the whole study, you continue taking the advanced therapy that was previously failing you.
Wait, let me make sure I heard that right. They keep taking the drug that wasn't working.
That's right. They don't switch to a new drug. They stay on the exact same stable dose of the biologic that had already failed them.
But why? That implies the researchers thought removing the appendix might somehow reactivate the old drug or, like, change the battlefield enough for the failed drug to suddenly start working again. That is a remarkably bold hypothesis.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's based on something called the appendiceal priming site hypothesis.
Okay. What is that?
Think of the appendix as a safe house.
Yeah.
Or a bunker.
A bunker for the bad guys.
Exactly. The theory is that the appendix might be harboring specific bacteria or maybe primed immune cells like rogue T cells that continuously drive the inflammation in the rest of the colon.
Wow.
So as long as that bunker is active and sending out troops, the drug floating around in your system can't clear the city. It just keeps getting reinfected from the source.
So by removing the bunker, you aren't adding a new weapon to the fight. You are just removing the enemy's reinforcement line.
Precisely. You take away the safe house, and then theoretically the drug that was failing can finally keep up and do its job.
Okay, so we have the setup. The patients have to choose. Stick with the failed drug but get surgery, or avoid surgery and switch to the shiny new powerhouse pill. I'm really curious, given that choice, what did people actually pick?
They screened 211 people, and for the final analysis, they looked at 116 patients. It was fairly split, but surprisingly, surgery was actually more popular.
Really?
Yeah. 67 patients chose the surgery, and 49 chose the drugs.
That is fascinating psychology. You'd think people would avoid going under the knife at all costs. But I guess maybe there is a real fatigue with medication hopping.
I think that is a huge part of it. These patients have been on a miserable merry-go-round of infusions, daily pills, constant side effects. The idea of a mechanical fix, just cut the bad part out and be done with it, can be very seductive. It feels definitive.
So here's the million-dollar question. Did the seductive mechanical fix actually work?
The results were, frankly, a massive statistical upset.
Don't keep us waiting. What were the numbers?
All right, so the primary outcome they were looking for at the 12-month mark was clinical remission, meaning a total Mayo score of 2 or less, basically no symptoms, feeling good, living your life.
Right.
And they had to achieve this without therapy failure. So that means no needing a sudden course of steroids, no switching drugs again, and definitely no colectomy.
And the winner was?
The appendectomy group, by a landslide.
No way. Seriously.
Yes. 32.8% of the surgery patients achieved deep clinical remission. That is roughly 1 in 3 patients.
And the drug group, the high-tech phone line cutters.
Only 12.2%. That's about 1 in 8.
Wow. That is not a small margin. That is nearly triple the success rate.
It's huge. The difference is over 20 percentage points. And statistically, the p-value was 0.010, which means this result is very significant. It wasn't just a random fluke in the data.
So literally, keeping the drug that wasn't working but just cutting out the appendix was almost 3 times more effective than switching to the heavy-duty JAK inhibitor. That completely flips the script on how we think about treating the stage of the disease.
It really does. And the data holds up beautifully when you drill down into the secondary outcomes, too.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just about patients subjectively feeling better. Look at the corticosteroid-free remission rates, for example.
Which is crucial, because nobody wants to be on steroids long-term. They just destroy your body.
Exactly. The stats there were identical to the primary outcome, 32.8% for surgery versus 12.2% for drugs. This means the surgery group wasn't just masking their symptoms with temporary steroid blasts. They were stable enough to stay off the steroids completely.
Okay, what about looking inside? Because sometimes a patient says, oh, I feel fine, maybe because they really want to believe it, but their gut is actually still heavily inflamed.
Right, the placebo effect of having surgery. Mm. But they track that too. That's the endoscopic response. This is the purely objective measure. When the doctors put the camera in and looked at the tissue, 48.4% of the surgery group showed visible tissue improvement.
Almost half.
Yes. Versus only 25.6% of the drug group.
So by almost every single metric, how they feel, whether they need steroids, what the actual tissue looks like on a camera, the surgery came out on top.
The takeaway here is incredibly potent. For these specific, difficult-to-treat patients, keeping the failed drug but removing the appendix worked significantly better than the standard of care.
Okay, I can feel the excitement building. It sounds like we should just line everyone with UC up and take their appendix out right now. But I know you. You're looking at your notes with that, wait a minute, face. What is the catch here?
Well, you're right to ask. It is so important we don't paint this as a magic wand. We have to temper the excitement with the reality of the broader data. While surgery absolutely won the comparison, we need to look closely at the therapy failure rates.
Right, because winning isn't the same as curing everyone. If 33% hit remission, that means 67% didn't.
Exactly. A very large number of patients in both groups still experienced treatment failure. The failure rate was about 58% for the surgery group and roughly 57% for the JAK inhibitor group.
Wait, hold on. Let me process that. How can surgery have triple the remission rate, but basically the exact same failure rate as the drugs? That math feels really weird.
It's all about how the outcomes are distributed across the patients. Think of it like baseball.
Okay.
The surgery group hit way more home runs.
Mm.
Those are the people who achieved total remission and got completely better. But the people in that group who didn't hit a home run, they basically struck out.
And the drug group?
The drug group hit far fewer home runs.
Yeah.
Only 12%. But maybe they hit a few more singles or doubles, meaning people who didn't fail catastrophically, but they didn't get all the way to clinical remission either.
I see. So the surgery kind of polarizes the result. It either works amazingly well and knocks it out of the park, or it doesn't really work at all.
That's a very fair way to put it. And remember, failure in this study was a very broad bucket. It included needing even a short course of steroids, having to eventually switch drugs later in the year, or needing a colectomy. So while the surgery group had much higher deep remission rates, it didn't completely prevent overall treatment tweaks for the majority of the patients.
And what about that nuclear option we talked about, the colectomy? Did removing the appendix actually save people from eventually losing their entire colon?
Unfortunately, the rates there were very similar, about 9.0% of the surgery group and 8.2% of the JK group eventually needed a colectomy within that 12-month period.
So the appendix isn't a magical shield. If the disease is aggressive enough, it's just going to march on regardless of whether the bunker is there or not.
Correct. The surgery buys you a significantly better chance at hitting that home run of remission, but it doesn't stop the biological clock of the disease for everyone.
Okay, so let's talk about the practical side of this, the safety, because taking a pill every day is easy. Getting abdominal surgery, even if it's laparoscopic, is a much bigger deal. If I am a patient sitting in that office, I'm thinking, is it worth the risk? I'm already really sick.
And this was a crucial part of the COSTA study's mission. Remember, these patients are on immune-suppressing drugs. Their immune systems are intentionally dampened.
Right. So there's always a fear that operating on them could lead to massive infections or sepsis or just really poor wound healing. You worry about their body's basic ability to recover.
Exactly. But the results were very reassuring on that front. When the researchers looked at adverse events, which is the umbrella term that covers any kind of bad health outcome during the year, the rates were surprisingly similar between the two groups.
What were the numbers?
56.5% for the surgery group versus 60.0% for the JAK inhibitors.
So the surgery group didn't have a sudden spike in bad outcomes.
No, not at all. In fact, numerically, they actually had slightly fewer adverse events, though statistically it's considered a wash.
But what about the surgery itself, like complications from someone physically cutting into them?
When we look specifically at complications related to the appendectomy, they were incredibly low. Only 3 patients, that is just 4.3%, had any complications related to the surgery.
And were those complications serious? Did anyone end up in the ICU or anything?
No. They were all classified as clavien dindo grade 2 or lower.
Okay, you'll have to translate that for us non-surgeons.
Fair enough. It basically means minor complications. Maybe a slight wound infection that just needed a standard course of antibiotics. Nothing life-threatening, and crucially, nothing requiring them to go back into the operating room to fix it.
That is really good to know. So the argument that surgery is just too dangerous compared to a pill, it doesn't really hold water here.
Not based on this data, no. It proves that doing an appendectomy on these really sick, immunosuppressed patients is feasible and it's safe. It is not some high-risk gamble.
So let's zoom out and synthesize everything we've talked about. We have patients who have hit a wall with their treatment. They are staring down the barrel of heavier drugs or losing their colon entirely. This study suggests that taking out the appendix while simply keeping on with their old failing drug offers a remission rate of nearly 33% compared to just 12% if they switch to a potent JAK inhibitor.
That is the core finding, and it completely changes the conversation you can have in the doctor's office.
How so? Like, practically speaking?
Well, think about the sequencing of treatments. If you are a patient, you might now say, let's try the surgery first.
Right.
Why? Because it acts as an adjunct therapy. You aren't burning any bridges. If you remove the appendix and it works, fantastic. You stay on your current meds, you avoid the potential side effects of the stronger JK inhibitors, and you achieve deep remission.
And if it fails?
If it fails, you can still switch to the JK inhibitors later. You haven't lost that pharmacological option. But you can't really do it the other way around as easily. Once you escalate the drugs, it's harder to step back.
It's a really compelling argument for trying the mechanical fix before escalating the chemical war.
Exactly. And honestly, it forces us all to respect the appendix a bit more.
It's not just a useless worm.
It really isn't. This study strongly suggests the appendix is an active player in the pathology of ulcerative colitis. It is not just an innocent bystander that occasionally explodes. The fact that removing this tiny, isolated pouch can cool down severe inflammation in the entire rest of the colon suggests it is driving the disease process in a very significant way.
Which brings me to the provocative thought I want to leave everyone with today. Because we know that it works for a third of people, the stats prove it, but do we actually know how?
That is the great mystery that remains. We have the bunker theory, right? But we haven't identified the specific saboteur hiding inside the bunker.
Right. Is it a specific strain of bacteria? Is it a rogue type of T cell that only matures there?
Exactly. We don't know yet.
But if we could figure that out.
Oh, if we could figure that out. If we could identify the exact molecule or the exact signal that the appendix is releasing to cause this havoc, could we replicate the fix?
A chemical appendicectomy.
Yes. Could we create a targeted pill that simply shuts down the bunker without ever needing to use a scalpel?
Now, that is a fascinating prospect. Turning the physical appendectomy effect into a daily prescription.
We aren't there yet. But studies like COSTA, they are lighting the path. They are telling researchers exactly where to look.
Well, that brings us to the end of this deep dive. I think it's a brilliant reminder that the human body still has plenty of secrets left. Just when we think we have mapped it all out and figured out how everything works, the useless parts completely surprise us.
Never underestimate human anatomy.
To you listening, we hope you look at your own appendix, if you still have yours, that is, with a little more suspicion and a lot more respect today. Stay curious about the parts of yourself you think you don't need. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.